Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips to the PC. It is Saturday, the 20th day of September, Anno Domini 2025. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, get out of shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues before the news? I would like to say a happy birthday belated to Mr. Steve Ray. I always get this backwards, to Mr. Steve Ray. And a happy birthday today to Mr. Dave Enright.
Thank you, sir. Thank
you're you. What, 108 now? 109?
77.
177?
Yep.
And Steve, you're 32 now, I think it is? Somewhere in there, yeah.
61. It's, I feel old.
You are old.
I got socks that damn.
And I'm the middle child. So, yeah.
Happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you very much. And happy birthday to Soundbites from September 3rd. So,
It's our birthday month.
It's our birthday month, all four of us.
I got my granddaughter also that her birthday was just a few weeks away. Texted her and, she's still in Japan.
Nice.
Yes, wanted to go to Japan and finally made it. And so she was celebrating her birthday there. Congratulations to
very
her,
nice.
Too.
Yeah.
Didn't Rob have a birthday in here, too?
Oh, maybe.
He gets one?
Yeah. He gets to have one, too. Why not? Why not?
Where's my list?
All right, well, Steve.
No, Rob's is in January.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll read the news. Consumer Reports is calling on Microsoft to extend the October 14th deadline
to cut off
free security updates for Windows 10 computers. In a letter to Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, Consumer Reports says the move will strand millions of customers who have machines incompatible with Windows 11. Data suggests that around 46% of people around the world still use Windows 10 as of August of this year, and that somewhere between 200 and 400 million PCs cannot be upgraded to Windows 11. Holy moly.
I got one of them.
In its letter, Consumer Reports calls Microsoft hypocritical for urging customers to upgrade to Windows 11 to bolster cybersecurity, but then leaving Windows 10 devices susceptible to cyber attacks. It also calls out the $30 fee Microsoft charges customers for a mere, and I quote, a mere one-year extension to preserve their machine's security, end quote, as well as the free support options that force people to use Microsoft products, allowing the company to, and I quote again, eke out a bit of market share over competitors, end quote. Consumer Reports asks that Microsoft continue providing support for Windows 10 computers for free until more people have upgraded to Windows 11. A public interest research group has also petitioned for an extended deadline, saying as many as 400 million perfectly good computers can't upgrade to Windows 11 and will be thrown out. But there may be good news coming. Apparently, some users, mostly in the EU right now, are receiving offers from Microsoft to trade in their old Windows 10 computers. In the Extended Security Updates Assistant, which currently isn't available in all countries, although they've only got a month. Okay. There's a new path for trading in old Windows 10 PCs. You can choose whether you want to exchange your computer for money or, and I quote again, recycle for good, end quote. If your PC isn't accepted for a trade-in. Whether your PC is accepted and how much you can get for trade-in value will depend on several factors, presumably including the age of your device and the hardware components that are in it. Microsoft obviously wants that money to be invested in new Windows 11 PCs. Like I said, this option is not available everywhere yet, and we're not sure it ever will be. So don't get excited just yet, and don't call us about it.
They have a link on their website on how to do it.
I know, but it isn't necessarily available yet in everybody's...
In your area.
In your area.
Holy cow. It's like six pages worth of fine print.
Yeah, you want to post that. That's People are going to want to get a cup of coffee and read through that, or a cup of something stronger. Anyway, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Consumer Reports asks Microsoft to keep supporting Windows 10. Your choices are, yes, please, I'll take a bit of cash for my old computer, I wouldn't mind trading it in toward a new PC, dang, I already bought a new computer, and who uses Windows anymore? So far, we've got 46 votes. The vast majority of you have answered who uses Windows anymore. You can vote in the poll, like I said, at soundbites.org. And then if you'd like to talk to us, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll-free, 800-790-0415. I think that a lot of people have taken those old machines and put Linux on them. We're hearing and seeing more and more people doing that. Often it's now a second machine so they can play.
So I just went to the trade-in program. An Acer Aspire 5, I don't know how old that is or what it is. Microsoft to give you $45 for it.
Yeah. No, oh, yeah. You're not going to get rich off of this.
Yeah, don't expect, you know, hundreds of dollars because, you know, it's a valuable machine to you.
Right.
To them, it's just a hunk of metal. Here's $40-$50. Goodbye. Have a nice day.
Yep. At least, but it's better than nothing, right? For the people who are going to just throw it away, creating massive amounts of e-waste and no money, It's better than a sharp stick in the eye.
But I still say, which we have been touting for years, you've always had the excuse, well, I don't know Linux. What better way to learn it than this piece of equipment that you can no longer use for Windows, but will be blazingly fast on Linux compared to if you were to upgrade Windows 11 on it? And you can learn at your own pace. Because it's not your primary machine. You're doing it to try different flavors of Linux to see which flavor of Linux you like and want to actually permanently put on it.
Now, in the phone world, there is a bigger resale value for phones because people don't mind a 2 or 3 year old phone because oftentimes it still works fine.
Right.
And so Apple has a trade-in program, Google has a trade-in program, but a lot of times you can make more money selling it yourself than you can by doing the trade-in, although it is easier to let them do it.
Right. And a lot of people don't know really where they would go or how to do it, you know, safely and et cetera. So, no, and I get that. I do. But in general, when I got this machine, I don't know, 10 years ago now? It was okay. It's an i5 running at 2.7 gigahertz. It's not a blazer by any means. And it's only got, I think, 8 gig of RAM, 8 gig of RAM. So it's not a blazing fast machine. But when I put Xubuntu on it, it flew.
Mm-hmm.
It flew. I was very, very pleased with it. And again, you know, you can continue, generally speaking, to run Windows without any support, without any security. That's really dangerous. Well, okay, look, if all you do on your machine is surf the web and that's it, that's literally it, play solitaire, I guess.
Yeah, once you add, I play online games, that might add a
right. Saying is, if all you do is surf the web and play solitaire, your cybersecurity is less important, because if you do get a virus or malware, you just reformat your machine. But if you're using it for your mail, if you have any private information on it at all, like you go to your bank on that machine, you're not serving yourself very well to continue using that machine after Windows 10 is done. It just does not make sense for yourself, never mind everybody else.
It's a good one to hook up to if it's just going to be, you know, you still want to use it, it's still viable, hook it up to, you know, and you got a 3D printer?
Yeah, exactly.
That's offline? Hook it up to the 3D printer. You can sit there and let it just pound away printing away stuff because it's not on an internet, doesn't have to, because you can take files on a flash drive and move it from your computer that you've got virus protection and everything else going on and move it over to this other machine that just sits there and prints.
I've got a machine that cannot connect to the internet. I have blocked that. And I use it for backup. It is one of many backups I have because I think we've talked about this before. You, if you are a systems administrator in particular, you cannot be paranoid enough.
Yep.
But I have made that machine unable to connect to the internet, but it will connect to my local network so I can back stuff up. Intranet. So I can back stuff up. And that, it's running Linux, but that could be running, it could be running Windows 3. It would not matter. I could be running Rhapsody. We were just talking about Rhapsody a couple of minutes ago. So, yeah, those are all possibilities. But if you've got an old machine, oh, before we go to the phones, I have to rant.
Uh-oh.
I, as you may know, I have a problem. Gather around, kiddies. Grab a mug of hot cocoa. Put on your footy jammies and gather around the rocking chairs. We can slap them awake. It's story time with Uncle Nick this time. As you know, I have a problem. I buy refurbished laptops. I also used to...
He's in counseling for it, folks.
My old machine was a refurbished desktop. I have never, ever, ever had a problem outside of, you know, it's now 15 years old and it died, right? Hmm. I've never had a problem with those old machines. I bought a brand new Lenovo ThinkCenter in January, and I'm having an issue with it. This is not right. I need to go back to Woot and get refurbished machines, which I know will continue to work for decades.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. All right, we should go to the phones. Our next caller is Rick from Pittsburgh, New York. What's up, Rick?
Rick. Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This might be just me, but when I logged on to jazz91.org, I'm getting messages that it's a bad website. I did it through my laptop using Firefox and then on my phone, so I don't know what's going on.
The website has been having a couple of issues. They are working on it. I should have announced that. Thank you very much. I forgot. I have a list of things to announce, and I always leave something out. For everybody listening, the Jazz website has had a few issues over the last couple of days. It is being worked on. It is being updated.
Yeah, maintenance.
Maintenance stuff is being done, and you can still listen to us either through the Jazz app or through your smart speaker. And all of that stuff, but right now, the website itself is not available. It's coming. Hey, well, it's up and down. It's coming and going. So, you know, don't call me and tell me it's up right now because it may not be in 10 minutes. But yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. I just wanted to point it out.
Oh, we appreciate that, Rick. Thank you. I meant to say something and I let it slip by with everything else going on. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. The website is being worked on and. The Soundbites website is still up. That is entirely independent of the station website. So if you're going to jazz901.org, you cannot get there. But if you go to soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, then you will be able to see several different ways that you can listen to the show live. We're on YouTube. Steve's doing that. Or are we? Steve's playing around with stuff. So
the balance is way off.
Making adjustments.
The balance knob is doing nothing.
Here, wait a minute. Let me see if I can help.
The balance knob, it does nothing.
Is that any better?
Right is too high and low is too, left is too low.
Okay. Well, let's all just crowd over to the right.
What does this red button mean?
What's this red button? Do not push the red button.
Red light on a red button.
So if you are mute.
It says R mute. Should that be on? None of the other ones have R mute turned on.
You said R was high and right was high and left was low.
Okay, that's working now. Maybe I had my left and right wrong. The top one was high, the bottom one was wrong.
Who knows? Okay.
Yeah, but all right, now they're even.
Now they're even.
Maybe I nicked the
Steve R. Steve fixed it.
by accident.
After breaking it.
Yeah, I might have nicked that button when I was plugging the jack in.
All right.
You know those headphone jacks go back to the 1850s?
Yeah, they do.
In the Telegraph, it's the oldest jack still being used.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, well, it's simplest. You know, it just
it's
needs
simple,
to
it works.
Send receive connector on it, and that jack does it.
In the Telegraph systems.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, if you have an old machine, please, I know nobody likes change. Something nobody likes fooling around with something new. Nobody does. I get it. But really, it is going to continue to, it's going to get very, very dangerous to run Windows 10 after October 14th because every hacker on the planet is just waiting for the next update to Windows 10, and from then on, it's an open field. And so, if you are,
what Microsoft has done is they have this extended support. Yes, you extended support utility,
right,
where you can either pay $30. You can use 1,000 Bing points, which are easy to get. We've talked about that in the past. Or you can back up your settings with Windows Backup.
Right.
And then you can get that one more year for free. And our guess is that in another year, they'll do the same thing.
Yeah, well, exactly. And
that's a guess. We don't know.
We don't know. And you know, you're kicking the can down the road, and there's something to be said for that. I do get that. But
some of us, the catch-22 that people haven't upgraded to Windows 11, one, because it's different and they don't want change, and two, because there's no real big need to.
Right.
But if Microsoft keeps extending the support for Windows 10, there's still no need to. So it'll happen when you buy your new computer.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Mike? Mike? Mike?
Did I break the phone when I was down there?
We have no mic.
We're going to try to reset the phone button again. And
Mike, you there? Nope, we have no mic. Sorry, Mike.
Call back and we'll see if we can get you on again. As we've said multiple times, this radio station was meant to play music, not take phone calls. So the phone system is interesting. You can end up at somebody's desk in a classroom.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. It's very weird. So we don't know what happened to you, Mike, so we apologize.
Oh, here he comes.
Here he comes. It's Mike again. We'll see if we get Mike back again.
Is this Mike?
This better be a really interesting question, Mike.
Oh, the questions are interesting.
Yeah, the questions are always interesting. I have to say, I've been thinking about this. You know, we've been on the air for 36 plus years, and in general, 99.999% of the questions have been interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, and it's Wayne from Henrietta. All right, we'll talk to Wayne this time. Wayne, you there? Oh, no, hold on.
Yeah.
Wayne wasn't ready. There's Wayne. You there?
I'm here. I think you had me before. I might have been Mike, but I'm actually Wayne.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that I'm sending a thank you letter to Microsoft for giving me a good excuse to upgrade my 10-year-old PC to Linux, because that was the best favor they've done to me. No, but that's not why I called. I had a quick question. You were talking maybe last week or the week before about connecting SSD to your Raspberry Pi, and I was wondering how you did that. Did you use an external connection or hat, or what way did you do that?
I did it through the USB 3 port, personally.
Yeah. Same
it's,
here.
It's fast enough. You know, I'm not ripping through a 50 million record database. So if it takes an extra quarter of a second to save a file, I don't care.
And you can get a raw drive and then a SATA to USB adapter or
a regular
USB drive.
Right. So, yeah, that's...
Make sure you get USB 3, at least, if not 3.1.
Well, I have an external drive to put an SSD in, and I use it for, you know, easily copying files over from an old setup, but... It's USB-C, so I could just put a USB-C to A adapter and it'd probably work fine.
Yeah, it should work fine. I've done that too. Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that you can do in the newer ones, you can set that to be the boot drive. In the older Pis, you have to boot from the internal micro SD card and then just attach to it.
Okay, that's kind of along the lines of what I was thinking, because I was thinking of adding something else to HAT. But you can only hook one thing to HAT, or can you have multiple things to HAT?
Depends on the HAT. For everybody else, the Raspberry Pi board is a single board computer, but it does have a set of pins that you can stick what used to be called a daughter board onto, because, you know, the motherboard and then the daughter board, get it? And on the Raspberry Pi, they call those HATs because they actually sit on top of the regular board.
Hardware attachment technology?
Yep.
Sure. it's a backronym.
Yeah.
So there are lots of different HATs that you can put on a Raspberry Pi. And one of them will allow you to connect hard drives. And depending on which one you buy, it might be one, it might be two.
Hardware attached on top is the official.
The tail.
Okay.
The on is silent.
Oh.
if you had more than one hat, you could kind of stack them, but I suppose at some point it wouldn't fit in a case anymore.
Yeah, there's this Dr. Seuss book about Bartholomew somebody with hats. All right. Anyway, all right. Did that answer your question?
It did. Thanks. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. You too. The Raspberry Pis are amazingly versatile as they stand, but there are some additional things you can do by adding what they call a hat. And if you've ever seen a Raspberry Pi board, there's a 40-pin GPIO, general-purpose I/O connector on it, general-purpose input-output. And people make daughter boards, or hats, as they're called, that plug into that, and you can add all kinds of things to it. So it really makes it much more versatile. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't wander off too far, because A, you'll get lost, and B, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the entire whole known universe. That's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Do you want to take Jazz 90.1 with you everywhere you go? Don't worry, we've got an app for that. You can download the Jazz 90.1 app for your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android device free from the iTunes App Store and Android Marketplace. You can listen to Jazz 90.1 on the go, view DJ bios, our program schedule, news, pictures, and even become a member of Jazz 90.1. Your mobile device never sounded so cool. To download the Jazz 90.1 app, visit the iTunes App Store or Android Marketplace today.
Be sure to download the new and improved Jazz 90.1 apps.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Rich from Irondequoit, New York on the line. What's up, Rich?
Hello, guys. Good afternoon.
And the same to you.
Quick question, or maybe a comment on what you think about the program bottles for Linux to help you run Windows-type programs.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there's this thing called Wine, which stands for Wine is not an emulator, and it lets you run Linux, Windows programs on Linux.
By emulating Windows?
By emulating Windows, but it's not an emulator. Right. The problem is it is not particularly easy to set up. So somebody else has created bottles, which are prepackaged Wine systems of Microsoft products for Linux. If that makes sense.
Yes.
And they seem to work quite well. Most of them run pretty fast. You're at the mercy of the bottler, right? Of the person who created the bottle. So most of them are well done, and you know, there are a couple that are borderline, but most of them are well done. I've never seen a real need for them because there isn't anything I personally do that I can't find an equivalent native Windows program, Linux program to do.
I have one programming thing that I've talked to you guys about it before. I just haven't made the jump yet, or, you know, like you guys said, just keep a machine that keeps off the internet and just use that to do my programming.
Right, yep. right.
There's also a commercial program called Crossover. They have a free trial, but it is a pay program to make it much, much easier to install Wine on Mac or Linux. Basically, it's a one-click installer, and they have tech support because you're paying for the program. So some people like to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I've popped a link for that as well.
So there are a number of pre-packaged systems for Linux. Many people who use an Ubuntu distribution are familiar with Snaps. There's also Flatpaks. There's also App Images. And for running Windows programs on Linux, there's Bottles. It's basically the same idea. They're pre-packaged, one-stop shopping containers that have everything you need to run that program.
Well, the way I had watched this one YouTube video, and it looked like the gentleman had set it up himself.
You can do that. That's just plain Wine. But
was in Bottles, though. He was setting up his own bottle to run a gaming program.
Yeah, you can do that too. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. There's an entire gaming environment you can get from Bottles that lets you then install regular games in the bottle and run them that way.
Okay.
There's a gaming environment and a software environment, and probably some others that I just never looked at. But those are the two I know of. And in each of them, you can then run specific software. So, for example, we have a number of people who say, oh, I can't run Linux because I must use Teams. Right? So one solution people have tried is Teams in a Bottle.
Okay.
Yep.
And so, you know, that, and again, it's very dependent on what hardware you have and how old your Linux distribution is and yada, yada, yada. But it is doable, it is possible, and some people are you know, going great guns with it, so it's not an issue.
The Wine HQ website has a search for your, you can type in your program name, and you get reports on how people have had luck running that program under Wine.
I'm going to try that.
Well, early versions of Teams got a bronze score, which is pretty good. The current version says garbage.
It is garbage.
But maybe Wine Bottle works better.
Well, and you can go to usebottles.com, and that'll give you more information about Bottles themselves.
One more quick question. So I download this program, and I'm going to use either Wine or Bottles or whatever to run this program.
Sure.
Do I just download my program that I'm going to use that's the Windows version, we'll say, and just put it like in the downloads folder and then run it?
Yeah, almost everyone. You would essentially, oh man, it's been a while since I did this. You start Wine, and then inside Wine you run the program.
So it's a Wine basically says, oh, you're running Windows now. And so you run the installer of whatever, download and run the installer of whatever program you want to run.
Because Wine knows how to handle
it. Yeah.
Okay. I think I got that then.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too. Have fun.
Plus, there was a good song, Time in a Bottle.
If I could put Time in a Bottle. There, like I said, there are a lot of equivalent Linux programs to Windows programs.
Mm-hmm.
Many people never really need Windows, although they don't know that. But there are some programs that, you know, a corporation, a company might decide you must use, and that could include Teams, for example. Now you could use, you know, Google Meet, or you could use Mastermind Lounge, or you could use, you know, any Zoom, any of those
dozens things. Of other video collaboration programs.
But if they have decided you must use Teams, then that now limits you. And Microsoft has done everything they can to make sure Teams only runs on Windows. And I understand it from a security point of view. If you are running your own Teams server in a corporation, right? Mm-hmm. Having your employees only hooked to your Teams instance means you are much more secure than having it wandering around the internet somewhere.
You know, the downfall of, you know, I think the shortcoming of Linux catching on when Windows came out was it because it was deemed to be very complicated. You had to know how to get into terminal sessions and do all this typing and loading of this program and that program. Whereas Windows just presented you with
the GUI.
Here's the GUI, you go at it.
What I've always said is Linux is DOS. We started out typing command lines and running all this and running our own programs.
Except you can now install Linux entirely from the GUI.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And never, ever in your entire life touch a command line.
Yeah.
And people don't, I think, understand that. They think what you and you think, which is that you must at some point go to the command line. Now, I use the command line a lot for two reasons. One, it's easier, and two, I'm a snob.
Oh, excuse me.
I mean, one, it's easier, and two, I'm used to it. I've been doing it for decades. So, you know, I tend to go to the command line first. Also, up until the arthritis really set in, I was typing 120 words a minute. So I was actually faster on the terminal than I ever was with the mouse.
Well, plus with the Linux, you can go use up and down arrows to bring back previous commands that you typed.
In Windows too.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you never, if you don't want to, except for very specialized circumstances, you never really have to go to the command line.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
To set up, for example, a Python environment, you might have to do, you know, some other things. But if what you're doing is the vanilla stuff of surfing the web and looking at your email and yada, 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 you never need to touch the command line. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what operating system you run. A browser is a browser is a browser. You know, Thunderbird is Thunderbird no matter where you run it. So whether you're running it on Linux or Windows or a Mac does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'd use the command line today because I'm setting up a computer. Apple removed the GUI for scheduled to start up and shut down.
Interesting.
PM set is still at the command line.
Right, right, right.
So I had to learn all the stupid parameters. I want the computer to shut down every day at 6 o'clock. So we go home.
Right.
That used to be right in the GUI, and now it's gone.
Yep. Well, that's interesting. That is interesting. Well, I wonder why they would do that. Maybe they don't want you turning off your computer. What the heck is wrong with you?
Why would you ever turn off your computer?
Exactly.
A lot of complaints to the new Mac Mini, the power button's on the bottom.
Ah. So they don't want you to turn off your computer.
Yeah. Who turns off their computer? Yeah.
Well, that part's true.
But I did post, I found a link from Windows OS Hub on how to install Microsoft Teams on Linux with points to downloads and command lines and all sorts of things.
Right. Like I said, sometimes you do need the command line for esoteric stuff.
Yep.
But the average user never needs to touch a command line, ever. But people don't, you know, Linux has a reputation of you must go to the command line. And that's because, you know, us old neckbeards all used the command line for decades.
Edlin.
I remember Edlin. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I do. I use Nano now. I'm old and I don't care what other people think.
I used Pico all the time on my VMS.
Nano, right. Nano is the predecessor or the successor to Pico. And I don't know what the next one's going to be. Femto, I suppose. So if you are a Linux, somebody who wants to play around with Linux, who's thinking about Linux, you can get an old machine and you can boot up the installer. You can download it and create an installer using Rufus or whatever. And you never need to touch the command line unless you want to.
Mm-hmm.
For day-to-day, everyday tasks. So, if you, you know, look at your email and surf the web and play some games and yada, yada.
Well, even if you just load the operating system and then just do a search of the available programs that are there for free,
you'd be
to
astounded.
Do just about anything, you better sit down and plan a good week or so to review all the possibilities from A to Z.
I have had people call me up and say, I see all these programs, but I don't see where I buy them. You don't buy them.
Yeah.
They're all free. You just install them. Well, that can't be right. Then don't do it.
Yeah. Well, that's like, for me, my biggest issue back when was, I wanted to get rid of Quicken.
Yep.
I was just tired. I did not want to pay that yearly fee because then they were also requiring you to do it all on the web and, you know, store everything up there. And I'm sorry, you know, I don't want my banking stuff up there. I'll back it up where the heck I want.
Right.
So I went looking for a solution, and that's where I found Money Dance. And it is a program that is used worldwide, and you pay a one-time fee for the major version that you're on. And, oh, that cost me all of $30.
Yep. And you can then back it up wherever you want, whenever you want.
You can have it running on multiple computers. You have it so you can also control it to have it dial your bank, download the current registry and transactions, and sync it with your current bank.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And the support on it is unbelievable and looks just like Quicken.
And for $30 per release? Come on.
I mean, yeah.
Major release. The minor releases
are within that bounty, you know, the bandwidth of using that product.
It's ludicrous how much stuff you can do either for free or on the cheap. And I always say to people, look, if you use a product, support the developers. Send them $10, send them $20, whatever you can afford. Like we ask you during our pledge drives, you know, we need your help. And so do these people who write this software. So I can't afford a lot anymore. I'm retired, but I send them $10, $20,
whatever. Yeah, same here. Yeah, same here.
And you know, they appreciate that.
Oh,
didn't you have a story once about you were the first guy ever to send
Jim
in a payment?
Jim Button for Buttonware. Jim Knopf had PC Writer and PC something else. I forget what the other one was. It was a database program.
And they've been out for forever, well, years, right?
They've been out for a while. Yeah. They've been out for a while. And I sent them whatever. It's shareware, right? So I sent them $20 or whatever the number was. Probably $10 in those days, and he wrote me back a letter. He said, "You're the first guy. Maybe you've given me hope. Maybe I can actually make a living at this." Well, and then, of course, he became very good at it. I mean, very famous for it.
Yep.
Well, that's the one thing. By paying for it, you'd be surprised if you have a question, and you're already a supporter of it. Boy, they'll jump right on you because they want you to continue to boast to your friends. Oh, this program is great. I had an issue. Boom, they were able to jump right on it and solve it for me. So, you know, good word of mouth travels a lot faster, you know, if you get out there and support it, than bad word of mouth.
Yep.
Because bad word of mouth, you know, it's like, okay. But, you know, hey, I got a positive experience, you know, it's just going to help the cause, and it gets your answer faster, too.
Yep. I tell you, the simple act of sending them a few bucks means that you appreciate their effort, and that energizes people.
He worked at IBM at the time.
Yeah.
And until the shareware took off, and he could quit his day job.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's always amazing to me when I often get back a personal note. Of course, it's easier now that it's all email. Yeah. I understand that, but I often get back a personal note that says, you know, thank you very much. We appreciate your donation, and I'll keep making good software.
Yeah. Yeah. One job I was on, we were using a terminal program called Red Rider.
Oh, yeah.
And it was having trouble. We were talking to a mainframe trying to get the data on our Macs. And so we're having trouble with this communication protocol. So I called the helpline. Hey, this is Scott. What can we do for you? Scott Watson, the guy that wrote the program. Yeah, you probably could help me. the guy that actually wrote the program answers his own phones.
Yep.
Hey.
Yeah, and that's, you know, particularly with a smaller outfit like that, your dollars go farther.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's true of the station as well. To put on my other hat for 30 seconds, like a Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're supporting these small developers, your money goes farther. It means more to them. And it's, so it's never a bad thing to throw a few bucks here and there.
Especially if it can make you... I had this one package that I heard about for logging software, you know, and I thought, well, I'll take a look at it. And before, when I was using this other program, if I was doing multiple parks within, say, my setup, I had to go in there, make a copy, change all this and put it back, do the next one, go in there and change all these settings and everything else. And it took some time. Well, this guy came up with a new program. He goes, no, you just put in the different parks that you're doing, and I'll generate it for you. So he sits there with his, you know, logic, and will create, say, three separate files.
Sure.
That before was taking me a good 20 minutes or more to do. I thought, heck with this. I sent him $25.
Sure.
He's thanking me up and down since then, and it's only been maybe 9-10 months. I've already gotten at least 12 different updates that he's made other advancements because people are learning about it and using the software and it's making encouraging him to add more features.
And this is the thing. We talk about, you know, who writes these free programs. Well, it's people who are scratching their own itch.
Yep.
And they figure, if I itch, somebody else itches.
Yeah, I need a program to do this, so I'm going to write it myself.
Right.
Maybe someone else needs that.
Maybe someone else. I'll just put it out there. I'm not, you know, I already wrote it for myself. I'm happy. I'll just put it out there. And then when somebody actually sends the money for it, now they think, okay, I can spend some time updating this.
Yeah. And adding other features, because other, you know, other, like for me, the other hands will sit there and say, hey, it'd be nice if it could do this also. Oh, okay. You know, and it does it, and then that encourages more folks now to use it.
And particularly if they're in your hobby, then they'll say, you know what, I could do that. I would like that, too.
Yeah.
I'll write that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the ability to write software is rarer than it should be, I think.
Yeah.
But the ability to encourage people who write software is really widespread, and you could do it yourself.
Yeah. There were a lot of stories from trade shows in the early days, people showing off their programs, you know, little booths back in the corner, and some of them would come up and say, oh, that's pretty cool, can it do this? And the next day it could.
Well, because they get that bug, and it bothers them that it doesn't do this.
I just saw a YouTube ad, and I was thinking of you, because this guy came on and says, you want to learn Python? And he's got a booklet. He's got the beard and everything else. And I can teach you how to do Python within a day, writing simple programs. It's very quick and easy.
And he's got a snake around his neck?
No.
That's a boa constrictor. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's controversy. There are many different species of constrictors.
Right.
So it's just boa now. Python is also a constrictor.
Yes, it is.
So it's just boa. It's not boa constrictor. Otherwise, you have to say Python constrictor, too.
I beg your pardon.
It's like the same controversy over a tuna fish sandwich.
Right.
We don't say cow beef sandwich, do we?
Or beef cow sandwich.
Yeah.
No, hold on. Wait. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Well, and that goes back to Anglo-Norman versus Anglo-Saxon.
Right.
You know, cow was the lower class, and biff was the high class.
Here's the thing we have to remember.
High class programmers.
English, and my friend Ryan is already ahead of me on this, English is a positional language. That is to say, where a word appears in a sentence is often equally as important as the word itself.
Yep.
Latin, for example, not a positional language. In Latin, bonum puer and puer bonum both mean good boy.
Yep.
In English, house cat and cat house do not mean the same thing.
Yep. True.
So you have to be aware of those differences. But yeah, so if you are out there looking at a piece of software and enjoying it, throw somebody some money. It doesn't have to be a lot. Don't feel, you know, we often people who say, who say, oh, I'd love to donate to the station, but I can only afford $5. The point is not the amount. The point is that you care enough to support us.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the important
part. That's where we've always said, no, there is no wrong amount.
Right.
Yeah. Whether it's even just a couple of bucks, that's $2 more or whatever closer to our goal.
Right.
And it used to be when you had to go to the store and buy a software package for $100.
Or $200 or $400.
Yeah.
The store took a cut. The distributor took a cut. The people that made the box took a cut. The people that copied the disc took a cut. The person that wrote the program got maybe 10% of it.
Yep.
So that.
Yeah. So that $200 program, the programmer got $10 out of it. Send him 20.
He's happy. He's double happy.
Yeah.
He's
now,
double happy.
Now what we've run into now with the race to the bottom, so many apps are 99 cents and they make it up add-ons. Yeah. In-app purchases.
Yeah.
Yeah, this game is only 99 cents to buy or free to download. Yeah, but I spent $300 last month buying extra jewels or whatever.
Yeah.
I did find something interesting on my trip. There's no internet where we were, and a lot of the games I play.
You met your wife for the first time.
Yeah, a lot of the games require internet access so they can load the ads.
Right.
When there's no internet access, it just skips loading the ads and takes me to the next level.
Nice.
So now I'm going to start playing in airplane mode.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense to me. Look, you've got the ability to make programmers happy. And it just encourages them to build better and more software for you to use. It's a win-win for every single person. So if you have something that you very much enjoy, throw them some money. It doesn't hurt you because it's not a lot, and it really helps them. So think about that next time you download. You know, we talk about the hundreds of thousands of free programs available under Linux, but almost all of them do have somewhere you can donate. And for something you use every day. Now, look, you know, Google may not need your dollar. Okay. Mozilla could. Mozilla Foundation absolutely needs your dollar. So send them some money. And while you do that, we will take a quick break. But don't go too far away. We'll be back after these messages with more Dave Enright, more Steve Ray, more me, Nick Francesco, and more you. But only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, as you, I am sure, know by this point. That is Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue with your generous support to be member supported Jazz 90.1. Take that quick bio break. We will see you on the other side.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And, of course, we had a birthday yesterday, Steve Ray, and a birthday today, Dave Enright. And so we are...
And you were 2 weeks ago.
I was the 10th.
Yeah.
Soundbites itself was the 3rd. So we're September. We're all New Year's babies.
Yep.
That's how that works. All right, so you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. In the meantime, I'll read the news. Microsoft 365 has become the central nervous system of modern business, and cyber criminals know it. Just as Windows became the primary target for attackers because of its market dominance in the 90s and 2000s, Microsoft 365 now finds itself in the crosshairs for having won the email and collaboration war. With over 400 million paid Office 365 seats worldwide and countless organizations relying on its integrated suite of applications, Microsoft 365 represents the ultimate target-rich environment for threat actors. Having successfully consolidated email, file sharing, collaboration, and communication into a single ecosystem, Microsoft 365 has painted a massive target on its back. So be wary when clicking on links or opening attachments. Speaking of Microsoft 365, it looks like Microsoft is rolling out Copilot Chat to Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and OneNote. For now, it's just paying Microsoft 365. It's just for paying Microsoft 365 business customers, and it is included at no additional cost. But eventually, you'll all get it, whether you like it or not, because Microsoft owns the computer, not you. Still speaking of Microsoft 365, if you're one of the 400 million. Or so people still on Windows 10, you might also still be using Office 2016 or 2019. If so, Microsoft would like to remind you that both of those products will also reach end of extended support on October 14th, 2025. Note, that's the end of extended support. If you've been using one of those versions of Office without paying for extended support, you might want to upgrade now because you have been out of service for a long time. LibreOffice is nice too, and oh, it's free. Otherwise, you're leaving yourself open to a lot of security risks. Also, Microsoft warned that those old versions of Office may stop working at some point. That's special. Updating your PC regularly is one of the very first and potentially biggest rules of cybersecurity. But Microsoft has called on PC owners to not update this baffling request. Left investors puzzled, and Microsoft shares dropped fractionally in Thursday afternoon's trading. This confusing announcement may have been aimed at Windows 10 users who are looking at alternate means of keeping their old machines updated, but it wasn't clear. So to have Microsoft suddenly say, don't update your machines, was a little confusing. We strive to be at least as clear as Microsoft, so give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Let me just stall all you, preempt everything that we're going to hear. On October 14th, the weekend of October 14th.
Less than a month away.
It is too late to call us and say, how do I upgrade? You want to do your upgrading now.
If you
not
can.
In a month, now, if you can. Because I have to say, my own wife. Okay. There's some fights you don't fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But
if you want to sleep with both eyes closed.
Exactly right. So, but for the rest of you out there, I can berate you. and I'm going to tell you that you do not want to wait till the last minute to do your update. For 100,000 reasons. One is if it goes badly, then you've got a problem, don't you? And you don't have time to fix it now. Also, if before you upgrade, back up. Then back up again.
To somewhere different.
Then verify both of those separate backups. You want at least two different backups before you upgrade from 10 to 11. I need you to hear that again. You need at least two backups. We advocate the 3-2-1 rule. Three different backups in two different places, at least one of which is online somewhere. Off your computer.
Cloud service.
All the backups should be off your computer, but one of them at least should be in the cloud somewhere. If you follow that and you have a disaster with your Windows 10 Windows 11 update, then you've got time and opportunity to recover.
Because everyone and their mother will not listen to our advice and be trying to do it then, and tech support lines will be
jammed.
Downloads might not even work because a billion people are trying to download it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So do not wait until the last minute. Now, today, is a real good time to finally break out that unopened backup drive you bought 4 years ago, Pat, and install it in your computer somewhere, hook it up through a USB port or whatever, and do a backup. Then get another drive, do another backup. And then and only then should you consider moving to Windows 11. But do not wait until the last minute. Start now, because you don't have nearly as much time as you think you do.
Hear me now, remember me later.
Exactly right.
But the thing is, as you know, as both of you, as well as I do, that come that week after the 14th, we are going to get people that sit there and will say, because I know Steve hears it coming in the chat, I meant to back up.
Right.
The roads, you have said, are paved with good intentions. And this is not going to be good, very pretty for you. If you try to do the install, and it crashes that whole machine, and you didn't take the time to back up.
And have multiple backups. I had a customer last week who said, well, I'm trying to restore my phone, and I'm getting an error. What's the error? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that helps.
Yeah.
So for everyone, write down the error. Take a picture of the screen.
Yeah, take a snapshot.
So we do the restore, which takes like an hour.
Sure.
And the error is backup corrupted.
Okay. Oh, good.
Okay,
we could have saved an hour if you'd have told me that message, and you go to the previous backup.
We had an issue at one of the places I worked, and I will not name the company because those people are no longer there. But every day, every night they did a backup. Every morning somebody checked the backup logs, and the very first line was backup completed successfully. Nobody looked at the second line, which said 0 bytes backed up.
Oops.
The program did indeed not crash, and therefore it concluded successfully.
Yeah.
Somebody should have looked at the second line, which said, something's not working right.
These bytes are, should zero. Be greater than zero?
Should be a few bytes more than zero, yes.
Especially a server.
That's the guy that we had that backed up a shortcut to his Quicken program.
Yep.
Thinking that was backing up the data file.
Or people sit there and divide their terabyte hard drive into half and put the backups on the second half, thinking, and then the drive dies, and think, I backed up to the other drive.
No, that's the same drive.
Not the way it works.
It's just another partition of the hard drive. Yeah. So
now there is a security company, well-regarded security company called ZeroPatch. And they have reverse engineered Microsoft updates and make them available for older OSs and including Office 2016 and 2019. It's free for personal, nonprofit, educational use and pretty inexpensive for even for small businesses. It's a per computer license. But they have been doing this for years and patching all the recent things. So just like the bad guys will figure out what's in a Microsoft patch so they can exploit it, these are good guys that figure out what's in a Microsoft patch and release it for everybody else.
But you cannot trust that. I'm sorry, but
I don't know who
these people are.
They are well-regarded, but it is a third-party company.
Right. I don't know who they are. Now, on October 14th, which is a Tuesday, is the last update you will get for Windows 10. Which means that people are going to call us on Saturday the 18th and say, I didn't back up. What do I do now? And the answer will be, you buy a new computer. Because it's now too late.
Mm-hmm. And then the second Tuesday in November, which is the 11th, when the Microsoft patches come out to fix problems that exist in Windows 10.
Right.
That will not be patched for you. The bad guys are going to be able to exploit that because you won't have those patches.
Which means on Saturday, November 15th, we'll start getting a bunch of calls that said, my Windows 10 won't boot, or it was taken over by a virus, or what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
You buy a new computer.
Yep.
You had the chance to upgrade or buy a new computer for a year.
And all those photos and everything else?
All those photos.
Bye-bye.
bye-bye. You can't trust them now. Because if you've gotten a virus or some other sort of malware on your machine, any file you have on that machine is now suspect.
You're toast.
And if you move it to another machine, it also could infect that machine.
Oh, most definitely.
So you want to do your backups now, particularly the pictures. I can't. Nothing breaks my heart more than I have pictures of my grandkids, or I have pictures of my kids, or you know whatever it is, and, or my parents. I have pictures of my parents that I've lost. I cannot help you now.
Right.
You had the ability to back this up every single day for the last 40 years, and you did not. I cannot help you now because that drive is toast. You can send it to Drive Savers, who will tell you whether or not it is savable for $1,000 just to tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
Then to actually do the save is much more money. You could save yourself thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars.
And heartache.
By buying a drive now and doing a backup. I don't understand why people don't do that. Oh, I believe in bargains. Well, there's a bargain.
Well, see, the problem is they've, like anything else, they've got to experience it for it to really sink in.
The first time.
Till then, it's, oh, no, that happens to other people.
The first time you lose all your data, you're going to be really, really strict about backing up after that.
You can tell your child 1,000 times, don't touch the stove, it's hot.
Yep.
And then one time they will, and they'll never do it again.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, it's most folks, it's got to be until it happens to them, do they react.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's the way it is. And the countless times that I had folks come in to the shop and say, you know, I need these photos back. Well, where's your backup? Well, I meant to. Like I said before, that's the most common phrase that I used to hear.
To hell.
And yep. I know Steve hears it all the time. Well, I meant to.
The other one I get, too, is this is my backup drive. Well, good. Then your photos are on the main drive. No, I deleted them from there. Then it's not your backup drive anymore.
Right. Yeah. Backup means a second copy, not the only copy somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I know we harp on this all the time, but all three
of
us,
see
I
the
think,
heartache on people's faces.
Yeah, we get tired of seeing the pain. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see you in pain. We want to see you happy, and all it takes is a backup. And, you know, if it was, well, you have to trudge up this mountain with a 200-pound pack on your back, okay, I get it, you're not going to do that. All you have to do is back the heck up.
I literally had a customer come in, you know, and that was the scenario. The drive crashed, and they did the partition thing back then, and it died. I mean, yeah. It was gone. That woman was so upset. We had chairs in the office, and sat back there and started crying unbelievably hard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. She was in frantic mode. What am I going to do? My husband's, you know, late parents' photos and everything else are on there, and I was doing this and that because she was restoring a lot of the stuff. And it was gone. There was nothing we could do. I mean, it was literally a brick, and that's, you know, sent it off to Drive Savers, but I don't know whatever happened there, whether she was able to get it back. But
Drive Savers isn't cheap.
Uh-uh. Even back then, that was...
We have a dealer code. Well, you don't have a shop anymore. We have a dealer code that gives you free estimates and 10% off.
Nice!
So, typically we see the $1,000 that's... Over the phone, before they see the drive, they say, yeah, it'll range between $900 and $3,900.
Yeah.
Okay, that's quite a range. Once they see the drive, give the free estimate, then the customer can decide if they want to fix it or not. We had one guy that had a RAID 5, three drives in a RAID 5. First drive failed, and he didn't do anything. Second drive failed, and he lost everything. So we send all three drives into Drive Savers to fix a RAID 5, and that was like, I think, $7,000.
Yeah, that's not cheap.
But that was his main company business with no backup.
And that, okay, this is the thing that makes me crazy.
Your company, yeah.
If you want to lose the pictures of your grandparents, that's on you. But if you're running a company, you have a certain fiscal responsibility to yourself, your employees, and your customers, plus you have legal liabilities to have backups of those data. And if you don't, shame on you. Yeah. I can't put it any plainer than that. Shame on you.
Because the IRS goes back 10 years versus right. homes that are 7.
Right.
Businesses are 10 years of your taxes you have to keep track of because they can go back that far if they want to stop there. Yep. Minimum 10 years.
We had a customer last week. We noticed his phone didn't have a backup. So we always check, and because we want to sell him a backup drive.
Sure.
He said, "No, I don't need it backed up." Are you sure? What if you lost all your photos? Oh, I don't care about my photos. My wife takes all the photos. Does she have a backup? Well, and a lot of times is I don't care about my photos. Would your wife care about your photos?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, she has the back. She has the backup drive. Okay.
All right, if she's got a backup drive, that's what counts.
Yep.
And we see it too often. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's not a difficult thing to do. If you head on over to our website at soundbites.org under right on the front page under some important links, the second one is backup. And it leads you to a page that I created that lists a whole bunch of different backup programs for each and every operating system. And many of them are free. So install a free one. It takes 5 minutes to download it and set it up. And then you don't have to think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes to save heartache and sitting in a chair and crying for 3 hours.
Yep.
I don't get it. I do not get why people.
Well, it's right up there with your passwords, and we keep recommending managers to control all your different passwords so that your data doesn't get stolen.
And those little scraps of paper you wrote the password down, you'll never find again.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you and I both use NPass, and I know other folks we've talked into it love it because. And it doesn't matter any password that I enter, I write down and then automatically go over and put it into NPass. Or I'll have NPass create the password.
That's what I do because it makes like 64 character passwords.
Yeah.
I don't have to remember them. I don't have to create them. All I do is hit the generate button.
And it does it automatically.
Magic happens. Magic happens. And so, all of my passwords are unique. All of my passwords are huge. And
you couldn't tell someone your password with a gun to your head.
Exactly.
No,
I don't know my password.
Yeah.
And NPass works on my phone. It works on my computer. It works on my tablet. It works on my laptop. Everywhere. So I don't have to learn passwords. But head on over to soundbites.org under some important links. You'll see backup. Go and get a backup program and use it. Also, again, I'll say this. If you have a Pixel phone, you have unlimited photo storage with Google. I don't know why you're not using it. And if you pay for Amazon Prime, you have unlimited storage backup with Amazon. I don't know why you're not using it. You know, one of the things that people complain about all the time is it's the pictures. You know, unless they're running a business, so I lost that email to Fred that said, let's go to lunch at 2. I don't care. But I got pictures of my grandparents.
And I can call Fred to have him send it to me again.
Right. My assuming Fred hasn't crashed his computer. But I've got pictures of my grandparents or my grandkids who are now, older. Or my parents who are now past. There's no reason for you not to put those out. If you're already... Look, a lot of people pay for Amazon for the free shipping. A lot of people pay for it for Amazon Prime movies and music. You've got this free add-on, unlimited photo storage. Why aren't you using it? And by the way, if you're the sort of person who takes pictures with your phone, you can set it up so that every picture you take on your phone automatically goes up to Amazon Photos. You don't even have to think about it. Anything you don't have to think about is a good thing. So yeah, I realize we're harping on this, but it breaks my heart when somebody comes to me and says, I've lost all this. What can I do? When it is so easy to prevent that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like I said, I've been having a problem with my new machine. I've got 53,000 photos. How do I know this? Because they're all backed up on Google and they're all backed up on Amazon. Excuse me, 63,000 photos. That from me, my wife, my in-laws, my relatives, from everybody. I keep them all. Every time somebody takes a picture, I make them send it to me. I put them in albums. So everybody has access to all those albums all the time. I don't have to think about it. If my machine dies, I've got many backups.
I've got 101,000 photos on Amazon Prime.
There you go.
372 gigs of unlimited use.
Yep.
So, Matthew went with me on our camping fly trip, and he took 100 photos. I took 1,000 photos.
Yeah.
I usually take 1,000 photos a day, so that I was way behind.
You were way behind. But that's the kind of thing that yep. It takes 5 minutes to set up, and now you never have to think about it again. Why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you doing that right now? Because we need you to do that.
Yeah, you know, 1 terabyte backup drive, under $100. I think under $50 sometimes.
Yeah.
So you have a local backup. It's great to have a cloud backup, but it's faster to have a local backup. And it's better to have both.
Yeah. Well, you should have three.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, a backup drive doesn't have to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy a spinning hard drive, a slow spinning hard drive. You don't care. You're only going to have it back up, say, at night while yep. you're asleep anyway. And it's only going to back up the new stuff you created that day. So by the time you wake up, it's done.
Yep. But it's a spinning drive. It's going to fail, too. That's why you need another backup.
Well, you need more than one backup.
Yeah. The odds of both drives failing at once are very low.
That's why there are yep. two stoplights at many intersections.
Yeah. The odds of three backup drives failing at the same time are even lower.
Even lower.
Four backup drives, even lower.
Even lower.
But still not zero.
There's no zero.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hi, everybody. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Speaking of backup, I had the worst experience of my life this past weekend here. I had an 8-terabyte drive starting to fail. So I went out, and I got a new one, okay, my backup. Got the new drive. Didn't really check the drive, thought it was okay, started backing up, and it started to error. It would stop backing up, it would freeze, the computer would lock up. So I stopped the backup, I went in, and I did a scan on it, and it had 52 bad sectors on it right out of the box.
Ooh.
Wow.
So I went back to the store. They didn't have any in the grease store.
Is this a spinning drive?
Yeah,
okay.
Seagate Barracuda drive. So I had to drive out to Victor to get a replacement. Went out to Victor, got the replacement, brought it home. I says, I'm not going to do this again. Well, it took me over 24 hours to get everything off the drive properly because I shredded everything that was on there. And I went back, got the drive. I said, I'm not going to fall for it again. Put it in, and I scanned it overnight. This morning, it came up with 152 bad sectors.
Well, you're going to get some bad sectors on any drive. But a brand new one shouldn't be that high.
Yeah, it failed. It failed, and I said, oh, I'm done with this. So I went back to the grease store, and I said, I've been putting these in an enclosure, you know. I said, I'm going to get one that's already, you know, an external drive. I got the new one. This time I went with Western Digital. Perfect. No problem.
Yeah, Western Digital makes some...
One of the problems we've run into is the Western Digital MyBook is a really, really popular drive. It's a plastic crappy case.
Right.
We have a lot of problems. Customers bring in those drives, and the case has failed. We pull the drive out of the case, and the drive is still okay.
Right.
So we kind of like the higher tier cases that are metal and have a fan, especially on the 3.5-inch models.
Especially the 3.5-inch models. But yeah, good. Well, good. That's a good point, Mark. When you get a backup drive, when you get a drive, test it first.
Yep.
You should always
never trust it out of the box again.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mark. All right, yep. I think that music is telling us it's time to take a break. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. We're going to take a quick break while you start your backup. But we'll be back up with a whole lot more show after this. Don't go too far.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
Ooh.
Oh, here we go. What?
I just found a 4-inch Saturn 1B for $300.
Saturn 1B?
Yeah. That was the bottom part of the Saturn 5.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Oh, and now we're doing rockets?
Well, I've got my rocket t-shirt on today. My wife bought me a rocket for my birthday.
Very nice.
I got to put it together now.
Well, yeah. And then you're really not going to fly it till next summer.
No, there's still October, November launches.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Hmm.
What started as an isolated problem with the Pixel 7a now appears to be spreading across the entire Pixel 7 lineup, one of which I have. In the past several months, growing numbers of Pixel 7 and 7 Pro owners have reported swollen batteries causing their screens and back panels to separate, sometimes as quickly as overnight. The trending issue raises new safety concerns for Apple's flagship devices. Just months after multiple reports of Pixel 6As catching fire forced the company to halt sales of refurbished units. Google's response so far has been mixed. Some users report smooth resolutions, including free battery swaps or even full device replacements. In a few cases, refurbished Pixels shipped out within days. Others have been quoted $130 or more for out-of-warranty repairs, are told the 7 Series isn't eligible for the free replacement program Google rolled out earlier this year for Pixel 7a owners, so who knows. Google announced on Tuesday that it's launching a new experimental app for Windows that's designed to help people find what they need faster, because God knows that's the most important thing we have. The app will allow users to use an Alt-Space shortcut to instantly search for information from their computers, from their computer files, installed apps, Google Drive files, and the web. The search bar works similar to Mac's Spotlight search, which lets users quickly find anything on their device and on the web. The new app is available in English and for users in the U.S. The immediate concern, of course, is that Google is going to collect all that information on your hard drive and index it in their servers, so proceed at your own risk. Speaking of security risks, Google has released emergency security updates to patch a Chrome zero-day vulnerability, the sixth one tags it exploited in attacks since the start of the year. While it doesn't specifically say whether this security flaw is still being actively abused in the wild, the company warned that it has a public exploit, a common indicator of active exploitation. Google's threat analysis group frequently tags zero-days exploited by government-sponsored threat actors in targeted spyware campaigns, so these frequent updates, while annoying, are good security measures. Speaking of Chrome, now that it looks like it will remain in the Google fold, the browser is undergoing a Gemini-infused rebirth. Google claims the browser will see its most significant upgrade ever in the next few weeks as AI permeates every part of the experience, whether you like it or not. For people who use AI tools, some of these additions might actually be helpful. And for everyone else, well, Firefox, Vivaldi, Brave, and others still exist. Speaking of AI, Gemini's mobile adoption has been soaring since the August launch of its Nano Banana image editor model, which has received positive reviews, particularly from users who say they can now more easily perform complex edits and create realistic images. The app has climbed to the top of global app stores charts and has seen a 45% month-over-month increase in downloads in the month of September already. We're still real, as far as you know, so give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
Never know. We could be AI-generated.
We could be AI. No, AI is just smarter than this. But I have used Nano Banana a little bit, and it's basically an image generator for Google. You only get a limited number of free things a day or a week or whatever the number is. So I haven't used it much, but you can generate, you can say, I want a picture of a monkey eating a banana, mm-hmm. sitting on a tricycle in the middle of the Sahara Desert. and it will generate that for you. So, you know, you can create pictures like those. And people are going pretty doggone crazy for it. It's very good. It's pretty fast, considering what it's doing. It's pretty fast. And people are loving it. It's called Nano Banana, and it's part of Google Gemini now.
Did you see that little box that I was showing you last week that you get an AI accelerator on it?
Oh, yeah.
It's an add-on. You know, you only do one SD drive, which you can do. I think right now they've got them 2 terabytes. But the whole system, you can put together a real nice little package, Raspberry Pi 5, with the accelerator and the SD for around $300.
Yeah.
I'm still looking at that 5. That this goes.
Yeah,
but I'm going to justify
it. You've got you talk about my addiction. You got your own, Mister.
Oh, so. Yeah, with Raspberry Pis. Yeah, you come over to my house. I've got 3 different servers, and 2 of them, that's just for my backups, and then I've got another 3 that just do ham radio. One for, All Star. I got YSF and DMR, so they just sit there and run that, and it's up, and people are, using my hotspot to connect out to the world. And it, for what? The little bit of wattage that 5
volts? They're nothing.
They're nothing, and they're on Pi. Matter of fact, those are all Pi 3s, those 3. And then my other 3 for the servers are Pi 4s. So I got to get a Pi 5.
You got to get a Pi 5.
Well,
Did I mention that they now make a Pi 500?
Yeah, you were saying about that, but I'm liking this cube, and my justification is going to be that I can set it up and have the wife try it out, put Linux on it, and get her all set up with Linux on that little box.
There you go. Very nice. Very nice.
Slide it on and get rid of Windows.
This is the box that...
The little cube, yeah. It's not much bigger than tissue box.
Yeah.
The size of the
Raspberry Pis are small single-board computers. They're about the dimensions, the flat dimensions of a credit card, although they're taller.
Yeah.
But you can
deck of playing cards.
Yeah, they're a deck of playing cards basically, and they are absolutely capable machines. Even a 4 you can use as a desktop.
Yep.
A 5 definitely so.
I'm gonna wait for the 6.
If they're coming.
But then there's going to be a 7, right?
The point is, you buy one of each. I've got a 3, a 4, and a 5 now, and a 400.
I actually have a 0.
Yeah, their Pi 0 gets made.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want one for a weather station, actually.
Ooh. I've been trying to get our airplane club to put a weather station in.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
So you can see if it's raining or windy there.
Right.
Before you go.
Right.
Maybe I'll just build one myself.
Raspberry Pi 0.
They're only $400.
But you can build one for a lot less.
Yeah. Well,
if you put the anemometer and everything else on it.
Yeah, it's an anemometer, wind gauge, temperature, a solar panel.
Right, so you can power it.
And a cellular transmitter.
Yeah. I'll bet if you tore it apart, you'd find a Raspberry Pi in there.
Yeah. Yeah, the one of them I found, guy said it costs him less than $5 a month in cell charges because it will text the current conditions, you can say text it every minute or text it twice a day.
You talk about my addictions.
Yep.
Yeah. This is Raspberry Pi 0. You were talking about the 0. Yep. And this will run my software. It's a little box a guy sells, the whole unit. It's Pi 0 and sets it all up and puts the map on there for you. So you can track satellites, weather, temperatures everywhere.
I just found a website called The Weather Weasel.
Nice.
Showing me the best solar power stations. Because we don't have electricity at our flying field. Although the main trunk going from Palmyra across to Fairport and Pittsburgh is there. The giant antennas are there.
Well, you guys get solar panels.
We have solar panels on our charging station for... For the batteries.
Okay.
So add another solar panel. Yeah. Not that big a deal.
That would probably work.
I mean, they're getting to, so that they're smaller and more powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're
getting more efficient, basically.
Oh, definitely.
So you get a better charge off the same number of cells.
Matter of fact, they got roofing that you can put on a house.
Yeah.
That you don't even know that it's solar panels.
Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm weather weasel. I'm trying to read this article. New CAPTCHA. I've never to prove I'm not a robot. I've never seen before. Open your terminal. Type paste. So it put something on my clipboard. Copy that and paste it back in to prove I'm not a robot.
I wouldn't trust that with a gun to my head.
Uh-uh.
Well, I'm not going to open terminal. I'm going to open a text editor and see what.
What
pasted. Yeah.
But it's probably running a program that asks for something. No, I wouldn't do that.
Yep.
Oh, I know. Remember we were sitting there saying how Google Pixel phones have unlimited photo?
Yeah. Mine does.
Oh, it's opening,
my wife
opening
had
website.
To go and get more storage because the 15 gig on her Pixel, she's got a 7 like you. And it, all of a sudden, she blew past it because she's now got 32 gig.
Whoa, okay.
Photos.
Hold on. Is she using Google Photos or is she using Google Drive? Because they're different. Google Photos, if you have a Pixel phone, is unlimited. Google That's Drive is only 15
I
gig.
I got to double check.
They are different. They are different things. I understand they're all on the same servers.
Yeah.
I get that. That's not the point. So you have to be aware that Google Photos.
I'll have to
not,
double check that because she just
right.
hit me with it.
Yeah.
And
I've got 65,000 photos up there. Trust me, I'm not paying a penny.
Yeah, it depends on, well, somebody if you're syncing to your desktop. If you go to photos.google.com, that's Google Photos.
Right.
If you go to drive.google.com, that's Google Drive. So Google Drive will store any type of file for you.
Right.
And Google Photos just does photos.
Right.
And they,
okay,
yeah.
Gates. All right, thank you.
They used to have unlimited photos and then stopped. And then we all switched to Amazon.
Yeah, exactly.
So who's next after Amazon?
So, and you know, right now, well, I am paying for Amazon, right?
Yeah.
I am already paying for Amazon Prime. I've said this before. My wife got it because of the free shipping for everything she does with the coffee stand. And then that gave us free Amazon Prime movies.
Yep, and TV.
And TV, and then free Amazon Music, and then free Amazon Photos. Thank you very much. Very happy to get that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jack from Gates, New York. What's up, Jack?
When you go to buy a computer at a retail outlet, they always want to push like a service contract with it.
Right.
Are those worthwhile to get?
It depends on the machine you get and how good you are at doing your own stuff. For most people,
where you get it and not get it.
Yeah, if
you know how to fix your own computer,
yeah.
Don't get it. If you don't know how to fix your own computer, then you may want to get it. And there's often two types of those extended supports: the manufacturer extended support, and then the store's extended support. If you buy the manufacturer support, you can go to any store that's authorized by that manufacturer. If you buy just the store support, you have to go back to that one store only.
Right. But listen, it's like getting insurance.
Yeah. You hope you're going to need it because you're paying for it.
Right, right. And you hope you're never going to need it because you don't want to have to go through the hassle.
Yeah, and they're hoping you don't need it so they can keep all your money.
Right. It's an insurance, and it depends entirely on your risk aversion. I believe in getting the service contract for most people. You know, Dave doesn't need a service contract. Steve doesn't need a service contract. I really don't want to do my own service, so I get a service contract.
I service the service contracts.
Right. Exactly right. And here's the other thing. It's like, could I fix my own car? Yes, but I don't have all the tools.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got a fan puller. Right,
yep.
So I go to my mechanic to take care of my car. Similarly, I could certainly fix my own computer, but I don't have all the parts or all the tools. and somebody else does. I've said this before, I've got old Macs that I can't fix because I have to tear them apart to replace the thermal paste. I can get them apart. Apart is easy.
Back together is tricky.
Back together is hard, particularly the ones that are all just glued now.
Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to have extra parts when you're done, right?
Always. Yeah. Absolutely.
There's always extra screws in it.
Exactly right.
Yep.
Yeah, see, I don't know about computers, but for other types of consumer electronics, like television stuff, a lot of people say, well, geez, basically, if it works out of the box and it functions fine for the first 5 or 7 days, your chances of having a failure on that are pretty low.
Nah. Well, okay, so here's the thing.
See what the original warranty is from the manufacturer.
Right. So I bought a new computer, and it came with a one-year on-site warranty. I am 9 months into that warranty, and I'm starting to have a little problem. I'm darn right. On Monday, I'm going to call them up and have them come to my home and fix it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And some consumer electronics, like a television, frequently end up costing so much to repair that you better have the contract or you throw it away and buy a new one. I've talked about this before. Starting like 10 years ago, I paid $500 for a 50-inch TV. And then that got replaced by a 55-inch TV for $500. And that got replaced with a 60 for five. Then I got a 65-inch for $400.
Right. But if it, you know, take a look at the service contract as well, because some are parts and labor.
Mm-hmm.
Some are only parts or only labor.
Some are you ship it back to the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm. Right, and they take their sweet time with it. So it depends on a lot of things, Jack. But in general, the bottom line is, if you're comfortable with doing your own maintenance, then don't get a service contract. If you are not, then I would suggest you get one.
Read the fine print.
Right.
Okay, thanks. That helps a lot.
Okay, yay. Thanks. Yeah, I'm old now, so I don't do my own car maintenance anymore. I used to. I had when I had a Volkswagen, I bought a set of metric wrenches and stuff. And when I had a regular car, I bought a set of Imperial wrenches and stuff. Now I have a mechanic who does wonderful work. All I do is drop it off. I'm done.
Oh, that's what I've done for years, decades.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no.
We bought a fan, like a little desktop fan the other day for like $10. And at checkout, it said, for $7, would you like to add it to your warranty? On my $10 fan?
On your $10 fan, no.
Nah.
Now, if it was a $500 computer,
yeah,
and it's $25 a year, well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What we run into at our place is a lot of folks are misunderstanding the lifetime warranty.
They're pretending they're misunderstanding.
Yeah, because they'll bring it back in. Here, I want to replace it. And, you know, it's well used. Matter of fact, I had a couple items that were well used, and it's like, yeah, I want to just get them replace them because they're not as sharp, and they got a lifetime warranty. You got to go back to the company. What? You always took it back. Not anymore. No,
right. And the warranty is for if they fail. They haven't failed.
Yeah,
right. Well, and you know, look, let's blame Craftsman.
Then somebody
breaks
them. Because
you used to be able to do that.
Yeah.
If you, my grandfather took a probably 50-year-old Craftsman screwdriver.
The
handle broke. He brought it back to Sears, and they just gave him a new one.
Oh, we do with our brand.
But the point is now people think...
That's everything.
Everything.
Yeah, no. And that's the whole... They get so upset when they bring, say, this rake back.
Yeah.
And they say, it broke. Well, and it's got a lifetime warranty. Yeah, with the company. Not with us. You got it last fall.
And it's not like you don't have a big sign that says... Pay attention to the warranty because it's not through us.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean.
We had someone call recently. They bought their phone from us.
Okay.
6-8 months ago. They took it to the Apple store. Strike one.
Strike one.
And there's a problem with it, and it's getting replaced. Okay, great. It's under warranty. She had a screen protector on it. Can we give her a free screen protector? No.
No.
Why would we? Well, because I bought the phone from you, And they're going to take the screen protector. No, that's not how it works.
Right. Have them do a screen protector on it, and you pay them.
Yeah. But, and most of the time when you try to take the screen protector off the phone, it either breaks. If it's a glass screen protector, it's going to break trying to get it off.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a plastic one, it never goes down right on the other phone.
Oh.
In fact, a lot of the screen protector kits will come with two.
Yep.
So when you mess up the first one, you've got the second one, or you've got the second one for your next phone.
Right. Well, I have the last time I did my phone, I've mentioned this before, I have severe arthritis. I can barely bend my fingers anymore. So the last time I switched phones, I brought it to my phone company and said, "Can you do this for me? Look at my hands." And the guy was just wonderful. He said, "Absolutely, not a problem." Said, "Do you want a screen protector?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, it's this much." I said, "Yes, thank you." Put it on. Done. Actually, he had someone else come over and do the screen protector. He said, "I screw these up all the time. Yeah. I'll have her do it."
Craftsman is only 98 years old.
Yeah.
They were purchased by Stanley Black & Decker.
Yep.
Black & Decker's 115 years old. And Stanley bought them. Stanley's 182 years old.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's the Americans think 100 years is old, and Europeans think 100 miles is a long distance.
Yeah, right. So if you're, it just makes sense to me. Service contracts, depending on your level of expertise.
Comfort.
And comfort. I will play with software all day long.
Yep.
I don't want to touch hardware. I just don't.
I was talking with a mortician today working on his computers. Well, I don't know anything about computers. Well, okay, I do. I don't know anything about being a mortician.
Right.
But you do.
Yeah.
Everyone has their niche.
Well, that's just it. We have people who say, "Oh, man." Well, I used to tell this to my students. I said, "You are going to go talk to our faculty, and you're going to think some of them are the dumbest people on the planet because they don't know computers. You know what? You couldn't do what they do on a bet. So don't even pretend that you're smarter than they are."
Yeah.
I read a story where the professor got mad at the tech. The professor needed a new mouse during a lecture, and the tech handed him a mouse. "What am I supposed to do with that?" Yelled at the tech for not... And then the tech plugged in the mouse.
Yep.
And the class all snickered, and the professor took him to the dean.
Yep. But the reality is, if just because you don't know something doesn't make you stupid. It just makes you ignorant, which is not a bad thing to be if you're willing to learn.
Yeah. That's my annoyance. So many people aren't willing to learn.
Well, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anything about
willful
computers.
Ignorance is bad.
Yeah. Then you shut the mind down.
Right. Yep.
And don't want to listen to a darn word you're saying.
Yep.
That they might maybe gain a little knowledge or, understanding at least.
You know, when somebody says, "I'm not smart enough to learn that," my only response is, "You would know."
Not true.
I'm sorry, but okay, if you, that's your assessment of yourself, I can't argue with you. I don't know you.
Hey.
If you're actually that dumb.
It is what it is,
Okay.
And like they say, no sense of arguing with idiots because they only draw you down to their level.
Right, and beat you with experience.
Yeah. But most people, you can learn things. I showed somebody Windows, Control X, and Control V on a Mac, Command X, copy and paste. And he said, "Well, I don't know about copy and paste. I can't do copy and paste." Sure. Yeah, here. Copy. For 50 years, we've been doing copy and paste.
Yeah. I want to know when they stopped calling it splat, because I liked that.
Yeah, nobody knew what it meant, so they started putting the word command on the key. But I had a PC user the other day hit the Windows key. What's that? It's the thing with the Windows logo on it. They didn't know what that meant. Okay.
Yep.
I was trying to get them to open a new desktop window.
Yeah, I get the little icons across the top underneath the F keys.
Yeah.
I do get that because many of them are esoteric, and it takes a minute to say, okay, that's some sort of something to do with the airplane mode. Okay, got it. Now it's an airplane. Airplane mode, got it. But, I don't know. Some things you should... over 30 years of looking at your keyboard, should have figured out. All right, now that we've berated you severely throughout this entire 2 hours. Thank you. It was good for me to have a little therapy session here, get some stuff off my chest. I appreciate you being my therapist, but we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, some weeks a lot longer than others. Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. And please, particularly these days, be good to one another, will you?